said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
That's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And boy, do we have a show. So we have about three hours. I could literally easily do a 3-hour show right now with what I have. But and all the audio clips I want to play. Some of them are a little too long to play. But man, I would love to share this with you. So we're going to get started. And we're going to, because there's Mayorkas, the Mayorkas debacle. There is this FISA vote that happened. We're also going to talk a little bit about inflation and a few other items. Ashley Biden's diary and this woman that got arrested. He got for nothing, really. And it's just incredible. And then, another Trump attorney got arrested. CFO, not attorney, Alan Weisselberg, set to be sentenced. He was sentenced to 5 months in jail on Rikers Island for lying under oath about the size of the ex-president's Manhattan penthouse. I don't think he even lied. It was basically that he didn't have the right square footage. And nobody gets arrested for this, folks. People lie about square footage all the time. I mean, it's up to you to do the right thing. In terms of an underwriter. But this is something that is sort of done all the time in real estate. So it's just another thing about like overvaluation, overestimation. These are not crimes where you do 5 months in Rikers Island and get stabbed every other day. But Ashley Biden's diary, woman, Amy, don't have her name in front of me, but she got arrested for merely finding. What happened there was Ashley Biden was staying down in West Palm Beach at a bungalow. And she rented it out, and the next person that went in found her stuff under the bed. Probably because she was, she is a self-admitted sex addict, self-admitted drug addict, is in and out of AA. This is not Hunter Biden. This is Ashley Biden. And so she's sort of like the biggest slut on the planet. And here she is, so probably high on drugs that she forgot everything, her diary, her luggage. So what happened was they found it, and they were figuring, and the person who owned it, so the next tenant turned it into the owner of the property. It was like a Airbnb. And then all of a sudden, the owner decides that they're going to go in and they are going to turn it in. So they go to turn it into the RNC because the person was a Republican. And so they turned it into the RNC to the Trump team. And the Trump team says, we can't do anything with that. It's ill-begotten stuff. It's sort of like not allowable into evidence or something, right? We can't do anything with it. Sorry, we'd love to, but we can't. So she turns it over and she decides, well, maybe I could sell it. And I don't know, I think she may have sold it off to James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe from Project Veritas at the time. And what happened? The FBI raids James O'Keefe's house, raids the woman, this Amy woman, that had access to it, and decides to arrest her. Forget about the fact that in the diary, it says that she was taking showers with as a teen with Joe Biden, and that she admits on audio tape that it's authentic and that she wants her stuff. It's all her stuff. Don't make me get Secret Service involved. So it's crazy. She's admitted that the diary is legit. So legit that she was going to get the Secret Service involved to get her property back. And so eventually, I don't know, I guess they turned it back, but it wasn't until after the FBI raided James O'Keefe's house, which is kind of crazy in and of itself when you think about that. So while I was talking, I was trying to find, oh, right here, Amy Harris was sentenced to a month in jail for finding Ashley Biden's diary after Biden left it under a mattress when she moved out of a property. She's serving jail time for embarrassing Joe Biden. I mean, this is the Gestapo police. Joe Biden's, you know, shame on the FBI. Shame on you all. Shame on the CIA. And that's what this FISA thing is all about. We're going to talk about the FISA vote yesterday. So there's the FISA. So we got Trump's CFO rotting in jail in Rikers. We got the J6 protesters protesting a fraudulent election. They're rotting in jail in D.C. There's a judge out there that's retired now, but he said you can't get a fair trial in D.C. anymore. The libtards all have Trump derangement syndrome. So if you're a Republican, you're for Trump. If you're not with Biden, you're against them. And if you're against them, you'll never, ever get justice in America, in their America, in their district of D.C., District of Columbia. So there's a lot going on here in America, and it's happening in Brazil as well. There was a boy that came clean and told the truth and then now is being under investigation. You got Elon Musk being targeted. All for what? Free speech. Free speech, folks. Free speech. It's insane to think that that is what's happening here in America, but that is exactly. And it's been happening for a long time. I could go all the way back to the 80s when I was in college, and I used to, I studied politics, political science. And when I would write papers, and I'm talking about 20-page papers, and I would write them, you'd have to have like 3 points for, 3 points against, you know, as academic. You know, you'd have to keep it fair and balanced like a journalist or something. And at the end, you would write a conclusion. And my conclusion always had 3 points for, 3 points against. But my conclusion would be slanted to the left only because no one else was going to read this except for my liberal professor, who was going to give me a bad grade if I slanted to the conservative, because he would have said, I just didn't get it. I didn't have a full understanding or grasp of the subject. So I had to write it in a way that I knew he would scoop it up and eat it like a bowl of soup, like the moron that he was, the libtard that he was. You know, people may know their history, but if they don't get the politics that are going on today, they're morons. Anybody who thinks that Joe Biden is the solution to the next 4 years is an absolute butthead. And that's all I'd say. That's all I have to say about that. So Donald Trump, he truthed out this. He says, kill FISA. It was illegally used against me and many others. They spied on my campaign. And you know what Matt Gaetz did? He took a snapshot of that truth and tweeted it or X'd it out on the Elon Musk platform. And he says, on it. Two words. On it. Period. On it. We're on it. We are going to kill the FISA bill in the House. How do you like them apples? It was a 5-year extension. So Simon Atiba writes, the House just voted down a bill reauthorizing the federal government's surveillance capabilities without requiring a warrant, as pushed by Republican Speaker Mike Johnson. So Mike Johnson was pushing for a 5-year extension on FISA. And this is where it gets twisty. It gets very, 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 very twisty. Because Mike Johnson's biggest opponent, of the FISA bill, the one that Mike Johnson wants to continue, the 702 section of the FISA bill, which is for wiretaps. They wanted, the bill came up on the floor for a 5-year extension. It was sort of bipartisan. So note that the vote was 228 to 193 against advancing the rule to renew section 702 of the FISA before it expires on April 19th. So the rule to renew the section 702. Former President Trump called on the House earlier today to kill FISA as it was used to illegally spy on his campaign and many other people. So the vote was 228 to 193 against advancing the rule to renew section 702 of the FISA before it expires on April 19th. Let's see who voted for it. Let's see. So who voted to stop it? Who voted to stop it, which gave the House the number that they needed? Andy Biggs, Dan Bishop, Lauren Boebert, Tim Burchett, Michael Cloud, Eli Crane, Bob Good, Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar. I'm looking for Johnson. I'm also looking for Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's see. I'm already through the G's and I don't see a Green. Clay Higgins, Anna Paulina Luna, Corey Mills, Nancy Mace, Ralph Norman, Andy Ogles, Scott Perry, Matt Rosendale, Greg Stube, and Chip Roy. These 19 patriots heeded President Trump's call and did not vote in favor of FISA's reauthorization. Very disappointing in the rest of the GOP. The FISA reauthorization bill has failed in the House because of the following 19 that I just read. So what gives? You got Marjorie Taylor Greene and Johnson, Speaker Johnson, Mike Johnson, on the same side of the aisle to reauthorize FISA. But is that where the story ends? I think not. I think not. So I'm going to read this. More than a dozen House GOP privacy hawks have blocked the House of Representatives from advancing a Speaker Mike Johnson-backed bill to renew a controversial federal government surveillance tool known as Section 702 of the FISA. That's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It comes hours after former President Trump posted on Truth Social, kill FISA, it was illegally used against me and many others. Okay? Gotcha. Yet Marjorie Taylor Greene voted yes to extend FISA spying on Trump. So she tweets out, Republicans do not believe in warrantless spying on America. Americans. Speaker Mike Johnson is urging members to reauthorize FISA, and President Trump said, kill FISA. Okay. It's like asking the deep state to hold itself accountable after it has abused the American people's trust. Okay. So she's in disagreement with Trump on this. And then readers added context. Marjorie Taylor Greene voted in favor of the procedural vote on a bill to reauthorize the FISA. Okay, so let's see how this shakes out. Let's see what she has to say here. Okay, I got to get the audio just right for you all to hear. Okay, let's take a listen.
This yesterday, I sent a letter out to my colleagues yesterday morning. The current discussions in our conference meeting this morning is about FISA, but it's pretty clear and obvious and being whispered among the conference. Mike Johnson does not have the support of the conference. The letter that I sent has been well received, and it was basically speaking the quiet part out loud. He's in there urging members to reauthorize FISA. And I don't think he has the votes for it right now, is what I'm gathering. We're going to be working on this. We do not believe in warrantless spying on the American people, especially when this bill carves out the ability for Congress to be notified when a member of Congress is going to be looked at through the FISA court. That's completely unfair. The same thing should apply for the American people. But Mike Johnson doesn't have the trust of the conference, and that's become very clear.
Are you going to vote against the rule today for the FISA bill?
I haven't openly decided to do that. There's a briefing, a classified briefing at 2 o'clock, and then there's also a briefing at 3 o'clock by Judiciary.
The rule vote's at 1:30, though.
Yes, there's still a lot of conversations going on.
Are you considering voting against it?
Of course I'm considering going against it. I don't think it's fair for the FBI to be able to spy on the American people. And
all right, so that is what she said before the vote, right? Now we got something after the vote. And this makes sense. This is where it starts to make sense. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is calling for an open amendment rule, a rule process on FISA. So she was asked what Speaker Johnson can do to win back GOP members. I think a lot of people, he can't win back. He's already lost the trust. You think that's permanent? Oh, yeah. Well, we can't change speakers in the next 6 months leading into an election. That's insane. So I don't know what Marjorie Taylor Greene's up to there. But she does make a good account of herself here. After the vote.
I voted for the rule wanting to see a vote on amendments. I think that's important. That's been one of my complaints. I'm calling for an open rule process where all members of Congress get to put amendments in and there gets to be a vote on everyone's amendments. I think that's the best way to go forward.
What do you think he's going to need to do from here on out or next to win back the conference?
Oh, I think a lot of people he can't win back. He's already lost the trust.
Do you think that's permanent?
Yeah.
I
voted for the rule wanting.
It's entirely possible that she was paid to vote yes one way or the other, and now she's realizing that this is blowing up in her face because she's wrong about. Well, look, let's face it. There's two things going on. Speaker Mike Johnson stinks. He is definitely not what we ordered up. That falls on Matt Gaetz's lap just as well, but not as much. Matt Gaetz didn't want him. He wanted Jim Jordan. He wanted, you know, Donald Trump, which would have been a great thing too. But again, hindsight's 20/20, and right now Donald Trump is on the campaign trail. So, and then he's got all this court scheduling, right? So in one sense, you know, it could be that they would have because he's a Speaker of the House, they could have continued all of the court cases until after he was no longer speaker. They could have worked that out maybe legally. So I don't know. I mean, there's so many things going on in America today that I never dreamed would be happening. So this guy writes, House blocks Johnson-backed FISA renewal after Trump's kill FISA slam. House GOP privacy advocates have thwarted a bill renewing Section 702 of the FISA. So the bill known as the Forming Intelligence and Security American Act sought to introduce measures against misuse by instituting stronger access controls to Section 702 collected data. I say so long as you have a government that's just on steroids and, you know, working against the people, I say take away the Patriot Act, shut down, you know, fire everybody at the FBI and start over. And if we have to go 2 years without proper security, that's the way the cookie crumbles. Get rid of the CIA. They suck. These people can't figure out what's coming. They've done a horrible job in keeping us safe. And if the CIA or the FBI cared two bits about your safety, they would have advocated for closing the border, and they would have turned their aggressions on the politicians that are paying them off. And that's what's happening. So I'm just sick and tired of it. You know, the only thing that's, you can't keep people safe if you have an open border and you're allowing every criminal from every prison in the world and every terrorist in the world and every adversary in the world to come through with their drugs, with their weapons, and with their human trafficking. I can't take you seriously if you're going to be that person, right? I just can't. So I'm a little tired of that. So Marjorie Taylor Greene still in the news. She says Mike Johnson wished Gallagher well and thanked him for his service and allowed him to screw over the district. Our majority is shrinking under Speaker Johnson. So Dirty Rhino of the Year Award goes to Representative Mike Gallagher. Could have left office today to trigger a special election to fill his seat. Instead, and that this was written on April 9th, instead he will leave on the in 10 days to screw the party. Another dirtbag assisting the radical Democrats. That was according to the Gateway Pundit. All right, so secretive federal agencies are trying to rig our presidential election. We got a thing. This is the FISA bill is dead. Okay, so this is what I wanted you to hear. This was Tucker Carlson's analysis on this.
A few years ago, we learned conclusively that, in fact, the FBI and the federal intel agencies, the dozen or more federal intel agencies we have for some reason, had been working secretly against Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Trump had whispered about this, then shouted about it, and was roundly denounced as a conspiracy nut, a lunatic. But in the end, he was vindicated. It was true. These agencies spied on Trump, and they leaked some of what they'd learned to the media, which used it against Trump. Then these agencies concocted false stories about Trump. They tried to crush Trump completely in 2016, and then for the entire course of his presidency. Then they did the same thing in 2020 during the presidential election. And they're doing it still. They're trying to put him in prison for the rest of his life. So if you take three steps back, what you have here is what we're seeing now. For the third time in three consecutive cycles, secretive federal agencies are trying to rig our presidential election. This is what the Democrats refer to as democracy. And they're trying to defend it. But of course, it's the opposite of democracy. It's in fact the end of democracy in any semblance of a constitutional republic we ever had. If you have a secret police force threatening people, spying on them, and working secretly the levers of political power, then you don't have a democracy. You have no control over really anything as a voter. So if there's one thing the Republican Party, the opposition party, should be doing in response to this, right now, it's fighting back against this descent into totalitarianism. They should be working to return freedom and democracy to the country. They should defend the Constitution. They should rein in these agencies, Washington's secret police. But you will not be surprised to learn they've been busy doing just the opposite. So if you're wondering why no one has gone to prison for any of this, now that we know it actually happened, well, the reason is in part a law called FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It's been around a long time. Teddy Kennedy first proposed it, by the way, back in the mid-1970s. And that law allows the federal government to spy without a warrant on foreigners outside the borders of the country. And the idea is bad people are doing bad things against us. We need to know what they are, and we can't bother to go to a court to get a warrant every time we want to know. but it will never be used against American citizens. Well, of course, now that we know, it has been at scale. But that law, FISA, has made it possible. So that law is now up for reauthorization in the House of Representatives. And amazingly, the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, has spent the last couple of weeks doing all he can to get that law reauthorized. In other words, to allow the federal agencies to continue to spy upon and punish people who disagree with him. In other words, Mike Johnson's own party, Republicans, Trump voters. Mike Johnson has been working to do that. And that effort failed today because members of Congress heard from their constituents or came to their senses, saw the truth in a dream. Whatever happened, they stopped Mike Johnson from doing that for the moment. So that's a good thing, and you ought to be celebrating it, even if you didn't know it was happening. And a lot of people didn't because it got very little media coverage. But of course, this is a temporary victory, like all bad things. Like that chlamydia you got in a hot tub in Cabo in college. It will come back. This attempt to spy on you, an American citizen, without a warrant because you've been politically disobedient. Why will it come back? Because it's what they really care about. And so before it does come back, it's worth just a very quick autopsy on what just happened. What did we just see so we can learn a couple of important lessons? And the first lesson we're going to learn is that a lot of powerful people in the Congress are liars. They lie without shame, in fact, with pride, and they do so at the behest of, or because of, blackmail instituted by the intel agencies. And at the head of that list would be the chairman of the House Intel Committee, Mike Turner of Ohio. We're going to play you a clip from Mike Turner of Ohio saying exactly the opposite of what is true. Here is Mike Turner reassuring you that FISA would never, under the FISA law, the U.S. government would never be allowed to spy on you without a warrant because that's unconstitutional. It's never happened. It never will happen. And if you think otherwise, you're probably one of those UFO-believing nut jobs who ought to stop doing ayahuasca. Here's House Intel Committee, pawn of the intel agencies, Mike Turner of Ohio.
We're not surveilling foreigners in the United States. We're not surveilling Americans in the United States. Those individuals who say that this is a warrantless search of Americans' data are just not telling the truth. These are foreigners abroad. They're a select group of individuals who are a national security threat. If you're an American and you're corresponding with ISIS, yes, if we're spying on ISIS, your communications are going to be captured. You would want us to do that. All Americans would want us to try to make certain that we keep ourselves safe from these terrorist, outside terrorist groups and organizations. We are not spying on Americans. This is not a warrantless surveillance program. This is foreigners who are abroad only.
Every word of that, a lie. And we don't need to guess. And I hate to use that pronoun, but I specifically don't need to guess because that actually happened to me. The NSA broke into my text messages, read them, passed them to news organizations in order to discredit me, and then admitted that they did that, admitted that they spied on me. And they did it under FISA because I was daring to text with a foreigner outside our borders. So Mike Turner knows that. He's the chairman of the Intel Committee. He knows he's lying, but he's doing it anyway because it's that important to preserve that core power. If you have the power to spy on someone and then to leak the information that you gather or manipulate it and then leak it in order to control that person, that's a major power. In fact, that's a bigger power than any voter in this country has. And so he's acting on their behalf when he lies to you. And so it shouldn't surprise you that they want to keep that power. And they want to keep it so badly that over the last week, U.S. government officials did something that may not have precedent in Washington. They lobbied members of Congress directly. They, in the words they used in Washington, they whipped the bill. Officials from the Department of Justice called, among others, Chip Roy of Texas to demand that he vote for FISA reauthorization. Imagine that. DOJ, Department of Justice, the federal law enforcement agency called Chip Roy and said, you got to do this. Think about that. Is there any group in this country more powerful than the Department of Justice? They can put you in jail. And they've shown a willingness to do that. They could put kiddie porn on your computer. They've probably done that too. And everybody who serves in Congress knows that. And everybody's afraid of them, along with the CIA and NSA and a bunch of other three-letter agencies. Members of Congress are afraid of them because they know the consequences of disobedience. And so for them to call directly a member of Congress, they'd be like the FBI coming to your house on election day and demanding that you vote for their designated candidate. And then having access to the record of who you actually voted for, as they do in the Congress. Can you imagine? You'd be highly motivated to vote for their candidate, wouldn't you? Yes, you would. So they're willing to do anything to get this enshrined in law because it gives them legal cover to subvert democracy, which is their program, of course. And everybody knows it. Mike Johnson knows it, but he's not telling his conference that, his fellow Republicans. In a meeting today with his Republican conference on Capitol Hill, Mike Johnson said, you must vote for this, and you must vote for it because America hangs in the balance. And if you had the intelligence that I've seen in my classified briefings, which you cannot see, you would know that it's your moral responsibility to vote for this. And by the way, if you don't vote for it, Americans will die. Johnson didn't mention that the FISA law, warrantless spying, did not prevent 9/11 or the coal bombing or any major act of terror in the last 50 years, almost 50 years that we've had it. No, I mean, it's ridiculous on its face. But why is Mike Johnson saying this? Well, there are only two possible explanations. One is that he's just stupid and doesn't know and believes his intel briefers. Every person who has spent any time in D.C. knows the intel briefing, the classified intel briefing in the SCIF is merely a leash. It's a collar around your neck connected to a chain, and the other hand is your handler from some federal agency with a black budget whose total you can't know. Of course, it's a way to control you, giving you information that you can't repeat to anyone else, that you have no way of verifying, and telling you that if you don't go along with the program, Americans will die. Right. So he either doesn't know that that's the way things actually work in D.C. Oh, of course Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. You want to get America vaporized in a nuclear attack? Invade, et cetera, et cetera. Many precedents for this. I mean, it's the oldest story there is. Either he doesn't know that, or there's another agenda. We can't know for certain. But consider this. Mike Johnson has been Speaker of the House for not very long, just several months now. He got the job accidentally. And in the time that he's had it, what have his priorities been? Well, there have been two big ones, two issues on which he's willing to call his fellow Republicans into the room and say, you have to do this. The first one is Ukraine funding. And he's done that again and again. Either we send another $60 billion to Ukraine, or he implies American soldiers will have to fight in Ukraine because we're going to prevent Putin from rolling into San Antonio or whatever. Of course, all untrue. In fact, ridiculous. But that's what he said, in effect. Ukraine funding has been his top priority. And his second, this week, was more warrantless spying on Americans. Well, what's interesting is that those are also Joe Biden's top priorities. Those are not the top priorities of Republican voters. They're not the top priorities of American voters. Look at the public opinion polling. It's available on Google. No, those are Joe Biden's priorities because both expand his power. So what's interesting is that the Republican Speaker of the House shares those priorities, not closing the border. He didn't call his conference in to say, shut down the border tomorrow because 70% of Americans are demanding that. And 100% of our own voters are demanding that. And that will save this country from certain destruction. He didn't say that. He said the number one thing we need to do is continue to have the legal right to spy unconstitutionally on American citizens without bothering to get a warrant. And again, is it an accident that's Joe Biden's top priority too after Ukraine, which he's still pushing? We'll let you decide. But the bottom line is, over time, people who don't live in Washington, don't know the complexities of the process, who aren't impressed by Johnson's claim, I've only got a one-seat majority. I have to do this. People are looking at this cold, with just the big facts available, will start to notice that the priorities of one party mirror the priorities of the other party. And they may ask themselves two questions. First, who's got my priorities top of mind? And second, why even bother with the Republican Party if all they're going to do is ratify what Joe Biden wants? And they may ask that question really soon. Let's hope they do.
Yeah, and then he has another piece where he extends that to election fraud.
A few years ago, we learned conclusively that, in fact, the FBI and the federal intel agencies, the dozen or more federal intel agencies we have for some reason, had been working secretly against Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Trump had whispered about this, then shouted about it, and was roundly denounced as a conspiracy nut, a lunatic, But in the end, he was vindicated. It was true. These agencies spied on Trump, and they leaked some of what they'd learned to the media, which used it against Trump. Then these agencies concocted false stories about Trump. They tried to crush Trump completely in 2016, and then for the entire course of his presidency. Then they did the same thing in 2020 during the presidential election.
Yeah, we actually did hear that piece in the beginning of the last piece we heard. I forgot that that was the case. All right, so it's crazy, you know. So that's the FISA debacle, and I think we explained it pretty exhaustively about that, and what was going on with FISA. I'm almost after hearing all that, I'm almost thinking, you know, I said earlier in the show, no way should we consider changing the speaker in the 6 month lead up to an election. However, if someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Donald Trump got involved with changing the speaker to a right wing, you know, like ultra right, like a Matt Gaetz, make Matt Gaetz speaker, right? But Matt Gaetz is more than likely going to run for governor after DeSantis, or Jim Jordan, or some Freedom Caucus, you know, Trumpian, right, in the House, whoever that is. But I would say Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, come to mind, just off the top of my head. Then you would do, because Trump seems to have a lot of sway right now. If he says kill the bill, they kill it. If he says, you know, anything, do it, right? So he could campaign on this because it's 6 month lead up into the election. You would not have the same speaker malfunction as what happened with Matt Gaetz. Because so many people were against Matt Gaetz, but yet Matt Gaetz has survived, and Matt Gaetz is well loved, and I hold Matt Gaetz in high esteem, and that I think he is one of the great leaders of the House. That's what I think right now. Who knows? 6 months from now, I might find something else out and change my mind. But the idea would be that you could get this done in one vote. You have one bite at the apple. And if you vote no, you won't get reelected in 6 months. And if you vote yes, you will. Now is the time. And hold them to the coals. Basically say, are you with MAGA? Are you with Trump? We have to unite. Like that guy said 2 days ago when I was playing that audio clip, we're at war. And for those rhinos and those people that are Republicans that just can't vote for Trump, get your head right. This is not like any other election. This is a do or die election for the wealth and well-being of our country. So let's get our head straight. By the way, Emerald Robinson writes, here's what just happened in Congress. Speaker Johnson tried to get 702 reauthorized, even though the FBI used it to spy on the Trump campaign. Then President Trump called for the bill to be killed. 19 GOP reps managed to stop it. Result, Johnson has been totally exposed. Yep, that's true. So everyone should watch Massey's questioning of House Intel Chair Mike Turner. Turner squirms, evades. Let's take a listen to this. So this is kind of an interesting, this is quite too long. Sorry about that. Yeah, I can't play this. I thought it was a shorter clip. Instead of giving a carve out to Congress from unconstitutional spying, just require a warrant for all Americans. We're going to not play that. All right. Breaking, Democrat leader on House Armed Services berates Biden administration official for demanding repatriation of Crimea. This is kind of an interesting and very important exchange. Let's take a listen.
Dr. Wallander, some of our members are frustrated. They feel like the administration doesn't have a clear plan or objective in Ukraine. Could you articulate that for us?
The objective is Russia's strategic failure.
Dr. Wallander, you've testified that the goal in the war is Russia's strategic failure, right? So I want to drill down into what that specifically means. Does Russia's strategic failure require repatriating Crimea back to Ukraine?
That is for Ukraine to decide whether that is their absolute required achievement to define this war.
You're a senior administration official in the Biden administration. I just want to know, to you, does Russia's strategic failure require the repatriation of Crimea?
To me, reinforcing the international law that borders cannot be changed by force is absolutely vital to teaching Putin a lesson. So ultimately, yes.
Yes. So the objective of the United States through your eyes, and granted, Ukraine can have their own objectives, totally concede that. But in your eyes, as you testify to us, until Crimea has been repatriated, we have not achieved what you say is the goal in the war, which is Russia's strategic failure.
That Russia does not gain territory through the use of force is a strategic success for Ukraine and for
But I just want I know, but that's very amorphous. I'm talking about a specific piece of geography, Crimea. You're testifying that Russia's strategic failure has not been achieved until Crimea is back under Ukrainian control. I think that's what you've said. I want to draw the finest possible point on
it. I appreciate that. I said that Russia will not succeed in seizing territory and having that recognized through the use of force.
All right, so now let's do the Donbass. Is it your testimony the same, that Russia's strategic failure can only be accomplished through a repatriation of the Donbass region back to Ukraine?
Russia's strategic failure requires that Russia not gain territory in Ukraine through the use of force.
And they've done that in the Donbass, right?
We do not recognize that, and Ukraine does not recognize that, so no. They occupy the territory.
I'm really interested in how Ukraine has historically recognized the Donbass. Have you ever heard the Donbass described as the ungoverned region by Ukrainian officials prior to the invasion?
The Donbass? You mean Donetsk and Luhansk?
Yeah.
I personally have never heard that.
Really? I have. I heard the Ukrainian ambassador describe it as the ungoverned region before, and now we're acting as though its repatriation is necessary to achieve Russia's strategic failure. Do you think setting such a high bar, like the repatriation of Crimea that's been under Russian control for some years now, and the repatriation of the Donbass region, do you think that's a really high bar for us to achieve?
I think that Russia is going to fail. I think the international community at large does not support this, and they see a stake in an aggressor being able to invade a neighbor and slice off territory and claim it as its own.
Here's what I think. I think that we're never repatriating Crimea back
to Ukraine.
That's
what I think, too.
And I think that if you set that as the objective, then we perpetuate this new forever war that's going to have a lot of death and a lot of destruction. And it's for an unachievable goal. I worry that's driving our thinking.
It's a fascinating world we live in, because I actually agree with Mr. Gates on something around Ukrainian policy, which I would not have thought of. And this is a really important point. Right now, what we need to do is get money to Ukraine so they can defend themselves. I'm 100% with you on that. I think all the arguments that we've heard today dance around that fundamental reality, that giving Putin Ukraine is an enormous mistake, and not giving Ukraine the money right now to defend it.
So this is a Democrat, but this was posted by Matt Gaetz. The first part, the Matt Gaetz part, I disagree vehemently with funding Ukraine in any way, shape, or form. I think we've given them, if we've given them a penny, we've given them too much money. They should just deal with their own problems. And they could have made a treaty with the Minsk agreement. They refused. Boris Johnson was involved with that. The globalists were involved with that. They wanted this perpetual war to launder money back into their coffers. It's a crime scene, but it's a crime scene established by NATO aggression and the Western politicians. So we talked about the Consumer Price Index yesterday going up to 3.5 year over year, and it went up further than expected, also month over month, 1 point further than expected. And that's going to result in probably the Fed not doing any kind of rate cuts for a longer period of time. And it also shows that Biden economics is not transitory inflation, but permanent inflation. Key inflation data was leaked to BlackRock and J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, and Larry Fink from BlackRock, Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan, by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, allowing their traders to make market moves, moving bets ahead of time. Sounds a little like Dan Crenshaw, who outperformed Nancy Pelosi in the insider trading stock market and made $4.4 million. Dan Crenshaw, the one-eyed patch guy from Texas, who acts like he's a conservative, but he's not. He's a corrupt politician. Inflation, according to Zero Hedge, inflation has not fallen in a single month since Biden's term began. The closest was July 2022, when it was unchanged, which leaves overall prices up over 19% since Bidenomics was unleashed. And prices have never been higher. Never. Never. This is going to have a huge negative impact on housing. This is, you know, and then also the big mistake is injecting cash, student loan forgiveness. It's going to just perpetuate inflation. Giving people $20 to flip a burger is also going to put pressure on housing. It's going to cause the price of housing to go up. Then you got the green initiative that's going to basically drive the price of oil up above $100 a barrel. It's already up higher than it's been in a long time. So you're going to see higher gas prices, which is going to stimulate more inflation because the cost of doing business. And we haven't seen anything yet. This is going to be an Armageddon of epic proportions. The housing market was trying to ride this out, and they can't. And so that stagnation, people are locked into their houses. They can't. They're underwater with their houses because they're not making money to keep with inflation, right? So they can't even afford to sell their house because they know that if they sell their house that they got at 3% under the Trump years, that they're going to be in a market where they're going to have to be forced to look at 7-8%. And they're staying put. Even if they wanted to move, they can't. And that's causing a backlog of pressure. And assume people are going to break. And institutional investors are going to break. And their portfolios are going to break. Because people aren't buying in this housing market. With the high prices, the prices haven't dropped. And the interest rates went up. It's the worst time to buy a house. So until that breaks, then you're going to start to see the dam break, and there's going to be a liquidation of housing, because already prices have to drop when the interest rates go up. So Trump was in Atlanta. People are breaking the media narrative. Black supporter to Donald Trump at Atlanta Chick-fil-A. I don't care what the media tells you. We support you. People were saying, "I love Trump." Here's a little bit of enthusiasm.
I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. We support you.
We support you, Mike.
Okay, 4 p.m. Within 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a
These are black people in Atlanta that don't support Fannie Willis, trust me. And they were in love with Trump, and Trump was just like a rock star. So I got a few Mayorkas clips that I want to play. But before we get to immigration, I want you to hear this particular soundbite that I heard from Maria on Mornings with Maria Bartiromo this morning. I want you to hear this. This is a really interesting analysis.
What I think the problem is with especially some of these Senate Republicans, of when you were talking about them tabling the legislation or the impeachment articles,
yeah,
when they come over, a motion to dismiss in the Senate with the procedural rules is no senators are allowed to talk during that process. So if they go to if leader Schumer says, let's dismiss these articles of impeachment, no one in the Senate will be allowed to talk about the impeachment problem. So that's why they delayed the articles coming over.
Yeah.
That is an interesting clip. Okay, so what does that tell you? That was a woman that worked in the Bush 43 administration. Ashley Davis. Yeah. And what she did was, what she said there was, this has no chance in the Senate, that Schumer is going to actually take a vote to dismiss, and it's going to be dismissed. So this whole charade, if you think there's going to be some trial in the Senate, think again. It's not going to happen. No matter what, it's not going to happen in the six-month lead-up to an election. The Democrats are going to lock together. If this was a Republican or if this was Donald Trump, there would be a Mitt Romney. There would be a, you know, some sort of loser that hides behind this veil of integrity, but they're just slime balls, right? But the thing is that it's going to be dismissed before it even gets started in the Senate. It's not even going to get a trial. And it should get a trial. If you listen to the testimony yesterday, it should get a trial. But she's basically saying if they dismiss it, then they can't talk about it. And knowing that Mayorkas was going to appear before the Senate, they didn't want that to happen, so they delayed it. That was why they tabled the vote, because they wanted to continue to talk about Mayorkas. So let's take a listen to this. This was one of the better ones, the better clips here. Let's take a listen to this.
Could you speak to any authorities that Congress has removed from you or the president since taking office?
Okay, so this is Representative Michael Cloud. This was not the Senate. This was a Congress, but there was a Senate hearing appearance as well. Let's take a listen to this.
Could you speak to any authorities that Congress has removed from you or the president since taking office?
Congressman,
has
you mentioned
Congress removed any authorities from you or the president since you've taken office?
Congressman, the point.
That's a yes or no question.
Congressman, the point that you make with respect to Border Patrol agents is exactly why.
You're filibustering. I asked you a yes or no question.
Congressman, the
Has
point that you make
Congress
is exactly,
removed any authorities from you or the president since you've taken office?
Congressman, the point that you make with respect to Border
the
Patrol
answer is
agents.
The no. I'd also make the point that you have approximately 20% larger budget than Trump had. The president has made the point that he can't secure the border. He can't get down to he because he is waiting on Congress to move. And I just point that out to belay that and to point out the truth of the fact that he has every single authority as President Trump. He has more resources at his disposal than President Trump, yet he has done everything he can to undermine the security of our border. Have you
on purpose, by the way? And that's where I'm going to bring it to wow. Okay, so I wanted to get this one clip, and I'm going to get that here. It was Kennedy. Kennedy had a really good exchange, and I had it queued up, and it's no longer available to me. But, you know, he basically... So what I wanted to say about that is the part that I actually found most interesting about that exchange was, in fact... that Biden has and Mayorkas had a bigger budget than Trump and has achieved much, much less. So Kennedy, Mayorkas, I'm going to have to search for it. Yeah, here it is.
Mr. Secretary.
Let's see.
Bye-bye. Two members of my party, Senator Lankford.
Well, you know what? I don't have time. It's a six-minute clip. But here's the thing. So basically what Kennedy says is Kennedy says that he thinks it's intentional. That was the point that I wanted to make. And it is intentional, folks. It's very much intentional. So, you know, they're willfully doing all this. We've talked about this, though, for years. Years. Literally years. And they're doing it on purpose to rig elections, to import ballots for the ballot harvesters to drop off in mailboxes with no signature verification, no voter ID. It's interesting that the only states, all the states with no voter ID went Democrat, every single one of them. It's interesting. Well, anyway, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. We ran out of time. We could do a lot more, but we're going to do more tomorrow. So be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. MAGAPAC.org to find out how we're advancing America First policies to make America great again. Make a donation if you'd like to continue to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, everybody.